Jeremiah chapter 5. We're just going through verses that could be preached today, really. They're not written to us. We know that. This is written to the Jews. So we're not going to Jeremiah because he's preaching to us. He's not preaching to us. He's preaching to the Jews. He's telling the Jews that you guys are disobeying, you're rebelling against the words of God, the very word, the very voice of God. They're rejecting that. And he's telling them that. So from that standpoint, we have the same message. Ours is to the Gentiles. We have to tell the Gentiles, you guys are rejecting the voice of the Lord. You're rejecting God. You're the King James Bible. And so because of the similarities of those two points of the ministry here, then we have a lot in common. What Jeremiah can say is if you continue to reject the word of God, he's going to hammer you down. He's going to let you have it. You got this horrible wrath of God coming your way. He'll turn us, he'll let us become captives to Nebuchadnezzar and all that stuff. Okay? Well, we don't have that threat to put over people. All we can tell people is, well, if you want to skip Paul, you'll end up in the tribulation, or you'll end up dying and going to hell. But Paul's message is the goodness of God, not the judgment of God. Even though it's in there, we know the terror, so we try to convince people, so we understand that. But the message that Paul has from the risen Savior is different than what Jeremiah has in that respect. So we're going to see some verses in here that are very scary towards people, but they ignored it. Well, nobody believes the tribulation anymore. Nobody believes in the rapture anymore. Even the Christians could care less. But one thing about Jeremiah I've learned in the last couple of days, me reading Jeremiah closely and trying looking where we're going to apply it to us as far as good way to say some things, it just fires me up. It gives me an attitude that what people are doing is far more serious than they realize. And when we're a Paul person, Paul following Christian, and we do all the stuff that everybody's doing out there, it's because of his grace. And we'll learn from Jeremiah how much we should appreciate what Christ has done. Because the wrath of God, we'll read about it with Jeremiah. So, Mark showed me last night that there's actually a term out there in the world, in the literary world. It's called Jeremiad. 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 It's writings. It says here, writes or talks in the method that Jeremiah did, is called writing Jeremiad. When the author bitterly laments the state of society and his morals in a serious tone of sustained prophecy of society's imminent downfall. So when a guy is talking about America's going down the tubes and writes about it and is hard about it, that's actually got a literary term, Jeremiah. So I don't mean to be that way. We ought to have this joy. We ought to have this excitement. We ought to know that what we're doing is a precious stone. It's going to be put to our judgment seat, and we're actually pleasing God with what we wear, where we go, what we do, and what we don't wear, where we don't go, and what we don't do. And I'm just afraid that probably just about all of us as well have become complacent. I think that's the right word. We're just running out of steam. We see so much against the book. We see so much in the Christians against what is even a small, minuscule attempt at doing right. And when we do, we take such heat for it that we just kind of fizzle. So Jeremiah is going to preach to us as he preached to the Israelites, to the Jews, because he says some really strong things. And I'll show you here this morning. Now, every one of my written notes online will have a more powerful verse in there. Last week, Wednesday night, it was about why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? If we could remember that, anytime we give in, we're trimming our way. Because we want to have friendship. We want to have fellowship. We want our family to like us. We want to be accepted. We want to have friends. We're going to trim our ways. We are. And I don't think any of us can deny that. The question is how much are we trimming? Are we cutting? Are we throwing away? Are we eliminating because we seek love? What is the matter with the love of God? What is the matter with the few friends that we have on the internet being the love that we can live with? It's hard. You know it, and I know it. So today's verse is in verse 31 of chapter 5, where he says, "My people love to have it so." We go through this whole chapter of Jeremiah chapter 5, And we get down to the very end, and he says, you know, but my people, this is the way we have it. Because my people love to have it so. Then he says, and what will you do in the end thereof? It's like he's saying, listen, this is the way people want it. This is the way you want it. The status you're at right now, you're satisfied with it, and nobody's going to change it. What will you do in the end thereof? Nothing. This is what I'm going to do. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of this stuff. I got to go to work. I got to stay home. Got to take care of my kids and all this kind of stuff. Here, pop in a movie. Here, let's go down here. Let's go over here and do that. All this kind of stuff. We're just, this is the way we want it. What is the way we want it? Well, let's see what Jeremiah has to say this morning. And we'll see what it is that we want. And you're going to say to yourself, I don't want that. But then you got to ask yourself, how serious do you not want that? Do any of us, I mean, I'm out of the ministry as such. Yeah, that bothers me. But then I look back and I hear stuff and I see stuff did I accomplish anything? Well, it's not about me accomplishing. It's about me planting and watering. And if I could get a hold of that, I would be thrilled when somebody grows. I would not be disappointed if somebody doesn't. Well, I'm thrilled if somebody grows and makes a stand on something, but I still have a disappointment. Like Paul says, is he doing this in vain if he sees his people still going on as is? And then like Jeremiah says, this is the way you want it, okay? So don't complain. This is the way you really want it. And you're not going to do anything about it at the end, he says there. So let's get going in this thing. And this will be kind of a hard sermon, I suppose. I've just stirred this morning. I've been the last couple of days. I've always been saying here that these sermons have been brought to you by a certain letter. And we're going through the letter P here eventually. And I'm not going to spend time on it, but we got three words for our hors d'oeuvres. In my notes, it says, by the way, the notes are available already. And they're there if you want to follow along. I can't possibly do it all this morning. I put way too much in the notes. But three words this morning for hors d'oeuvres. Plant, peace, and perilous times that Paul talks about. Planting. We know that we have to just plant. We're doing good to plant. I'm not talking about planting churches. That's such a ridiculous term. That's because they figure their church is a living organism. It's the bride of Christ. It's part of Christ, the church. So they say they're going to go out and they're going to plant a church. You don't plant churches. That's just another one of those Baptistic terms based on the wrong thing. Paul never said, go plant a church that I know of anyway. But if you compare that to Jeremiah, look what Jeremiah says. Before you plant, you got to root out, tear down, destroy, throw down. Then you plant. Maybe that's part of our problem, is we're not willing to get rid of the old junk, and we just start building on the old junk. And pretty soon the old junk falls apart, and the new junk doesn't last. So there's some notes in the written sermon there. We're studying the plant compared to 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, 3:6-7-8, 9:12-9-7. What Jeremiah says about planting. Second word was peace. You know, Jeremiah was talking about a peace, but he was warning about the false peace that all the preachers and missionaries and prophets and all these people are preaching. And Paul is concerned about a peace, but our peace is an inner peace. We're not going to change the world. We're not going to fix things. We do have to go to work. We do have to have husbands. We do have to have wives. We do have to dress the way we don't want to. We do have to not go to places we want to go to. We do have to not turn something on when we want to. And we're supposed to have peace during all that. That's what Paul's all about. So I got some verses here on Jeremiah says, for example, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace, and say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And that's what these people were telling Jeremiah's people. And Jeremiah's coming around saying, are you kidding? God's wrath is going to hammer you down. And these preaching guys are saying, no, there's peace, and nobody's going to harm you. So there's that false peace. And I noticed yesterday in the mail that there's preachers, I forgot where it was, Florida, I don't know, somewhere, the pastors in town are getting together and they're asking people to bring their guns into the church to get rid of guns in the community. They want to have a peace. It's just ridiculous stuff that's going on. Here I am in South Dakota, where we actually have official cowboys outside of town here, living on the range, riding the range and all that stuff. And I was going to try to have a little, we're going to sing Home on the Range in our music class. And I was going to have all the kids dress up like cowboys. I was telling the girls to dress up like cowgirls and the boys like cowboys. And I talked about guns. I said, sure, bring your toy guns in, not a problem. Well, that didn't go very far. The teacher said, no, you cannot bring in guns to the school for a concert. Toy guns? Yeah, I forgot about all that junk. But, man, this is South Dakota, western South Dakota. Wild Bill Hickok, Calamity Jane, all these. Oh, this is cowboy country out here. And do these guys know that guns are so fearful that we're going to hurt some? Oh, it's just stupid stuff. It just irritates the fire out of me. I had a teacher the other day, a couple of weeks ago. I asked the kids to go back to their classroom to get a pencil. And the kids came back. Nobody had a pencil, but one kid had a box. And the teacher came in and says, we don't let the kids carry pencils in case they get hurt. So one of them carries all the pencils for them. What a crock. I tell you what, nobody's even teaching those kids how to safely carry a pencil then. The mentality today just drives me nuts over this stuff. Okay, so Jeremiah's preaching God's wrath is coming upon them if they ignore God's words. And the preachers are preaching, that's not true. So we got today. What do we have today? We got Daniel chapter 8 talking about
congratulations, you won.
Prosper in his hand, money, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Daniel chapter 11, he says he will come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. People are so suckers for this; they're so gullible for this stuff. So anyway, what Paul has to speak about peace is a kind of a peace that nobody seems to be searching for. They're trying to satisfy themselves. They're using grace to dress the way they want, to do what they want to do, to watch what they want to watch. I'm tired of this stuff. I'm reading it all the place. I hear about it all the time. And I'm not any perfect guy, but I'll tell you what. That stuff is just a slap in God's face, and nobody cares. And I'll tell you, the preachers don't even care, because if they preach what they need to preach, nobody's going to stand in a little church. And the people that are in the church that know better, they're going to keep going because we still need church. Or they haven't got permission to stay home or whatever. It's just a bucket of baloney floating around everywhere. What's the point? I tell you. And then the last one is perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're not in perilous times. It says, Paul says, shall come. When perilous times shall come. So, but when we read through Jeremiah and we read through some of the books in Hebrews and Judas, we see things taking place today that weren't happening years ago. We have to be getting closer to the tribulation. We have to be getting closer to the rapture. I'm not a date setter at all, and I've fallen for that years ago. But I'll tell you what, we see it coming. And we know that the trick that's going to kick in the rapture is Romans chapter 11, verse 22, when the Gentiles quit with God's goodness, the goodness of God, he's coming. And I'll tell you what, like I said before, the goodness of God is preached by Paul, and it's only in the King James Bible, and people are rejecting the King James Bible, they're rejecting rightly division, and they're rejecting Paul's teachings. That's the goodness of God. Everybody else is out there, Baptist, they're preaching God's wrath. If you don't do this, God's going to hammer you. That's not the goodness of God. God saves the goodness of God. The goodness of long-suffering of God is he's got grace, and he allows us to learn and grow. And when we cheat on him and mess with it, he's still not going to hammer. That's the goodness of God. It leads us to repentance. That goodness of God is supposed to change our lives. We're not supposed to use the goodness of God as a backup so we can watch all this junk and do all this junk and wear all this junk and talk like this and take your kids to this junk. I'll tell you, what I see in little children, homeschoolers included, our kids are done for. They're not going to make it. They're not going to ever hear this stuff. So, we're heading into perilous times. All people want to read is their Bible movies. They want to read their, the wilderness movies, and they want to follow this and that and all this fireman junk and the promise of the forgot what that one was called now. I saw some thing that's just ridiculous. Proposal, I think it was called. And I got people on Facebook that should not be watching this bragging that they are. Then this Avatar coming up, and you know that you're going to be pressured to watch this stuff. It's just junk. Will you stand? Will you stand? Will you stand? Will you stand? Here we go. Perilous times are coming. It's going to get tougher. And we're supposed to have a peace and try to plant some right things in our lives. Try to grow. Here we go. Let's go to chapter 5. Those are the hors d'oeuvres, the three words. Peace, plant, peace, and perilous times. Let me check on volume level. Everything okay? And you can take white cons. Don't need to be red dotted. But anyway, here we go. Seems okay. Y'all ready to jump into this thing? Here we go. Verse 1. Y'all there? I got one guess. Okay. No distractions. I hope nobody's vacuuming their floor while you listen to this, or washing windows, or doing dishes, or, you know, I hear a lot of the people do that. I get a lot of stuff done while I'm listening to you. You know, you're supposed to open your book and at least pay attention anyway. Here we go.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Starts right off.
I need to check the time. It's 9:20 here, so 10, whatever. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. If ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely.
Now, that's not the...
First of all, we don't get a pardon today. So there's one thing right there. We don't get pardoned. We're made free. That is not a pardon. So anyway, we know in the Old Testament, it was a pardon. Had to go to Abraham's bosom, da-da-da-da. So the question here is, what was going through the streets of Kadoka, through the streets of Tushy, through the streets of Delaware, whatever town you live in? All these towns. Can you find anybody executing judgment? What does that mean? Well, the judgment that we're supposed to have, we're supposed to grow in judgment as a Christian. Philippians chapter 1, 9, and 10. Can you find anybody that's trying to grow better in the judgment of proving things that are pleasing to God? Remember that Philippians 1, 9, and 10? Can you find somebody wanting to do that? No. Can you find somebody who would want to do that if they learned about it? No. They don't want to hear about it. How about you out there, and not just a list right here, but how about those that are going to listen to this sometime? Are you trying to fulfill Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10?
Let's read it here.
I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Are you trying to be the Paul thing? Can you find, as he says in Romans, in chapter 5, Jeremiah, go find a man. Go find somebody.
And then he says, though
they say, the Lord liveth. See, you're going to be talking to other Christians. You're going to be talking to so-called Bible believers. And yes, we even talk to King James Bible believers. Do they want to look at Philippians chapter 1, 9, and 10? Do they want to find the things that are excellent? Do they want to be sincere and without offense? Are we trying to make ourselves better? Are we turning off that tube? Are we talking differently? Are we going to keep clothes on this summer and everybody else isn't? What are you going to say no to this year, this summer? What are you going to say no to? Now, the second part of that thing, he says, they say the Lord liveth. And then he says that they swear falsely. What they're saying is a lie.
Yes, the Lord liveth.
We know that the Lord liveth today. But what they're talking about is wrong. When they go into their Baptist teachings, they go into their baptism stuff, they go into the communion stuff, they go into God's going to get you if you don't do it right. And then the positive side of that is God's going to bless you when you're doing something right. See, that's a lie too. That's an Old Testament teaching where if you do right, God will bless you. That's the tribulation. You better do right, God's going to take care of you. Today, you can do right, you can do wrong. And God's going to reward one way or the other at the judgment seat of Christ. We have spiritual blessings. So if somebody says, they come up to you and they start yakking about how their life is so blessed of God, maybe it's because we just are following what the Scripture teaches. So that's the gain is godliness mentality. That you think you're going to gain because you're living right. That's a lie. That's not true. And Jeremiah says, they swear falsely. I like that. That's just really good. Demas is everybody's hero today for Christians. Demas is their leader. We have almost a famine of the King James Bible, right? People will not only endure sound doctrine, they don't even know what sound doctrine is. Yeah, anyway, there's some stuff on there that I grump about. I type it. Using grace as a ticket back to the ways of the world. Aren't you glad you can get up and watch this thing and get done and say, well, God's grace isn't going to get me for that. I got some comments here. We're just flat ignoring and rejecting Paul's teachings as a woman and as a man. I've been wanting to do a sermon that says we're different. We are different. The Bible has designed to be different. And how much of that woman-man stuff are we willing to be different? Come on. Men have become feminine and women have become manly. Women are running the show, and if they don't run the show outwardly, they run it inwardly. You can buy so many books in the Christian bookstore for ladies how to lead and run your family.
Let your husband know
you're doing it. There's tons of stuff like that. I can tell you, I can name you Christian after Christian right now that women that are just be quiet. Quit being what you like. Quit dressing like that. I got the girls, I got my kids at the school. They all look alike. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. And I know enough of the stuff that ladies, this world is trying to take your clothes off. You can't hardly buy anything. Go look through these catalogs. Look what they're doing. You can hardly find a T-shirt that isn't dipping. You can't even hardly find a skirt. If you find a skirt, it's so tight and bumpy and all that kind of junk. T-shirts, what are you doing wearing T-shirts? There was a time that women wore blouses. Now the Marines wear blouses. That's what they call them in the Marines, is a blouse. What a stupid thing. It fires. It does irritate me. I don't know why it does. It just does. Well, I know why it does, because I know it's not right. Nothing correct is being taught to show our children. We've lost our courage. We've lost our confidence. We're losing our fight. We're losing our desire to please God. And I was thinking when I was writing this stuff up, you know what our calling is? Our calling is to follow the design that God has made us to be. That in itself there is probably the hardest thing for everybody to do. Women to be women according to the scriptures, and men to be men. I'll tell you, if a man becomes a man, he'll get sued, he'll go to jail, he'll pay his wife $50 million a week for alimony, his children will think he's wrong and he's a bad dad. And the women don't even go there. They're so out of sorts. It's the women that have to be brought up to be the man. They're doing the same thing to your children. And we have such lousy example for our girls and our guys, and just anyway. Well, it's a negative, isn't it, this morning? Jeremiah'd whine. Okay. Anyway, it's not what Paul's designed to show us. Here we go. So if we're going to run to and fro through the streets, who would we find? Probably nobody. We're doing good to have a ministry on the internet of the same similar stuff. It's good to see all those names that are out there this morning. Let's go to the next couple of verses, 3 and 4 here. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Is that working better? Okay. So here we go. Where he says, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. We haven't been stricken. That's the problem here. We need a good spanking, but we're not going to get one, and we know it. He says, for they have refused to receive correction. That's true. Where do we get correction? King James Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, 15, 16, 17. For correction. They refuse correction. I remember preaching sermon after sermon after sermon, knowing that it was... It was right according to the scriptures. And, I mean, people would go off to the R-rated movies after the sermon that night. I know one family that would do that. It just amazes me. They won't take correction. Do we take correction when you read our Bible? They have made their faces harder than a rock. See? You try to tell anybody this, you try to change your life, you try to follow Paul, their face is hard as a rock. You look at it the next time you try to say no to something, or you're going to do something right. You look at that face. They have refused to return. They want to go back to Paul. These people that have left Paul, left the teachings of Paul, and doing their own thing with movies and worldly living and gone to Demas, they don't want to go back to Paul. They don't want to go to the risen Savior. They still want that gospel Jesus. If they go back to anything, they still want that religion. They still want that church. Boy, it's hard to quiet, though. I think it's working better. Nobody said anything. You don't want to go back to that. How far have we given in? How much have we trimmed? Do we want to go back to what we said a year ago, 2 years ago? Jeremiah says they don't. And remember, All the stuff we're talking about here, Jeremiah says at the end, my people love to have it so. This is the way we want it to be. Chances are the level you're at with your personal life right now is where you're satisfied. You're not going to say no to anything else. You've had a hard time saying no to what you've had to deal with already. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying us. Paul warns us about being conceited Christians.
Jeremiah
really slaps us around if we let him. Yet it's the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God that people are rejecting. All right, here, verse 5. Here's another one. Verse 5. Checking the EIM's okay. I don't know why that... You know what? It may be just too close to my mouth up here. Let me try it that way. Here we go. Verse 5. I will get me into the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Then he says, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out them shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Now you know there's somewhere to go with that wolf and the lion and the leopard. There's something in that. I don't want to get into that, though, but you know there's something there. He's telling us for us. But also, these older guys, the great ones, great men. This is one of the things I did was at first. I would go back and I would realize, do you realize that these great men, the Finneys and all these people, the Jonathan Edwardses, the Ruckmans, and everybody wants to go to somebody else. They can't go to the Bible. So they go to these great men. Jeremiah went to these great men. And yet there's also a story in 1 Kings chapter 13, a marvelous story. This young man of God is going to go out there and do his thing. And he comes up with this old man, this old prophet, who's been there. He knows everything. And he lies to this young guy. He lies to him. And this young guy eventually gets slain by a lion. Marvelous story, 1 Kings 13. There's a lot in that chapter right there. So I've got a tract online. Look it up. Why preachers, pastors, and won't preach Paul. The guys in their past, they're Great Commission through and through. There's some more. If they're not Great Commission, they're Calvinists. I'm listening to a series on John Adams, the president, John Adams, some years ago. And how he preached righteousness. And he did a great job, and he was a marvelous Christian, supposedly. When you realize that, he was preaching the wrong part of the Bible. And we have wrongly dividing. And this is why we're in the nation of ungodliness that we are. So we don't need to go back to anybody. You need to just stay in your Bible. And it talks there about the lion. Well, you don't have to deal with the lion. Paul had to deal with it. He says in the Timothy, he was delivered from the mouth of the lion. And then it also says in Thessalonians that he was hindered by Satan. So yeah, Paul had to deal with the lion. We know that in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's a tribulation verse. Devil's not on this earth seeking who may be devoured. That's not happening. That's a tribulation. So what has the devil got down here in this earth? He's got ministers of righteousness doing the job for him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15. Ministers of righteousness. They're lying. Split. Verse 7, we've got to get through this here, don't we? Some of you can't be here tonight, I suppose. I know I'm not going to get all through it, but we'll try here. Verse 7, how shall I pardon thee for this? Well, no pardoning for us. Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery, assembled themselves by troops in the harvest houses. There is fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? See, I think if we read chapter 5 a few times, we're going to recognize what it is God would have done if it wasn't for his son. What he would have this nation, what he would have done to us personally. That was Jeremiah's message. God was going to do that to them. We don't have that message today, other than the tribulation. So, and I like that part where he says, when I had fed them to the full. What more can we get out of God? God's goodness, long-suffering, patience, mercy, grace. He's fed us to the full. And we still turn it on. We still get that remote, and we watch something stupid. We still talk about dumb things. We still talk like we shouldn't. We still go places we shouldn't. We wear things we shouldn't. We are so good at just fires. Where were you a year or two and 3 years ago? Give me your reasons why you're still not there today. Well, you know, it's just, no, we don't realize how full we've been made. He's taking care of everything. Okay, let's keep going here. We jump down to verse 11 here. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we cease nor famine. The prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Is this not a fantastic verse? They belie the Lord. B-E-L-I-E. Belie the Lord. What is that? It's when they say, it is not he, neither shall come upon us. What you're saying is not true. That stuff about Paul, that's not true. The stuff about the risen Savior to follow him and not to Jesus, that's not true. You know what they're doing? They're belying the Lord. There's a word in it, belied. And it says there, the prophet shall become wind. All these pastors teaching biblical counseling and all this kind of stuff, they're wind. They're just wind. And Paul tells us to grow up. And it's the wind of doctrine. These guys are preaching lies. They're preaching wishy-washy. They're leading their church down the wrong path. And Christians are just going to follow them like it's no big deal. You watch music come into those churches. If it hasn't come in yet, it's coming. And everybody's going to just let it happen. Where are the men in the churches that stop this stuff? You know, what they say today, if you just seek the face of God and pray, he'll heal this nation, you know. Acts 5, we are his witnesses of these things, so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You obey Jesus and the teachings of the Matthew and Mark and the Great Commission, God will bless you. Is your heart right with God? Acts 8:21. The heart is not right in the sight of God. Hebrews 10:25. You better go to church every time those doors open. You better get in there. What if the guy's not telling the truth? What if he's wishy-washy in the truth? What if it's just a place to try to get everybody to love everybody? What if you got to go there and do some stuff in that church people you know you don't do? What if you got to hang around a bunch of hypocrites? Ah, there's one. Well, we're all hypocrites. Yeah, but you know, there comes a point you need to draw a line. There's things that people do in those churches that you shouldn't be part of. The fellowship is wrong. I mean, you're in a church. For those that are still going to a church, you realize that you are hanging around people that Paul has told us to avoid. It's tough. I know that. That's hard. You go to Malachi chapter 3 and you find out that you're robbing God of your tithes and offerings. This is the stuff you hear. Build up an army. Let's conquer the world for Jesus. Yeah, that's the message of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not recognize that there, buddy? You're talking like an Antichrist Christian. Conquer the world, million-man army. That's the Antichrist working right there. Antichrist uses the word conquer. And then the classic Hebrews 12:7 and 17. You better obey your pastor. You better follow what he tells you. He's the pastor, you know. This is all the junk that people are saying when they belie the Lord, when they say that Paul is not the guy. The risen Savior's teachings are no different than what he taught in the Gospels, and that's not true. How does it sound? Is that all right so far? Verse 14, here's another one. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words of thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Ever been burned? See? Now, here we go. Was it Jeremiah's words? No, those were the words that God put in his mouth. And the people got burnt by what Jeremiah had to say. Now we've got preachers today that think that what they say, they want to burn people. They want to hurt people. They want to preach them. And they want to upset. It's the Word of God that'll burn people. It's that King James Bible. That Bible's too hot for people to handle. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you let that thing preach to you? It's the Word of God that'll burn us. Not the loud, screaming preacher. Now, it's in our flesh as preachers to want to tell people off because you know what they're doing to their children. I've got some people I'm still very unhappy with for what they're doing to their kids. Drives me nuts. I see kids all over this country. They're going to go to hell because of mom and dad's testimony, because of grandpa and grandma's testimony, because of videos today, because of the book, because of lousy, lousy school education. They're not going to be able to understand and read. That's the bottom line here. Yes, that they will receive the wrath of God in the tribulation or when they die and go to hell. But it's the word of God, it's the word of God. The words of Paul in the rightly divided Bible, those in their mouth that we tell people, that's what's going to burn people. But anyway, he says here in Colossians, let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. We don't need to go burn people. You show them the book. What do we show them? The goodness, the long-suffering of God, His grace. And then we need to show them what we need to change in our lives to please God, because it's the reasonable thing He asks us to do. It's reasonable service, He says in Romans 12. Look at verse 15. There's more verses in the notes, by the way. We just don't have the time to do these. Verse 15, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far. Verse 15 through 16, 17 is totally applicable for tribulation. Go down to verse 18. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. So God doesn't kill them off. He always has a remnant through those ages. Verse 19. Another good tribulation verse. See, we don't forsake the Lord. We may walk away, quit reading our Bible, and start dressing rotten and talking rotten and going things, going to doing a gun to a year or two ago, and you know, all this stuff we give in and cave into. Christ is still in. Jeremiah, they didn't have that. When they left, they left. God will leave them as well. Verse 20, right there it says right in verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob, publish it in Judah. Jeremiah, the Old Testament is not something we should try to follow. But boy, we can sure learn from it. Verse 21. We're getting there. Verse 21. Now hear this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble, but might have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves therefore toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, can they not pass over it? He's talking about, here's God, He made the beach. He put a bunch of sand all over this world along the oceans and lakes and stuff. And the waves come in there, and the sand is still there. That's what He's saying. I can do this. Why don't you fear me? I've done that. Well, we know that the kind of fear that Paul preaches is a different kind of a fear. You know what God will do to these people, to our friends, to our families, to our nieces, to our grandson, all that stuff. We won't do them if they don't get the truth here. Do you believe this is the truth? Do you believe that what we're saying here is the truth? Do you believe that that Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that is it that which is perfect? Do you believe that rightly dividing that thing puts us to Paul? Do you believe that if you're not put to Paul's teachings, that the gospel out there is a false gospel? Do you believe that that's a way you get another Jesus, and another Jesus doesn't get you to heaven? It doesn't get you past the tribulation. It doesn't get you to be with the Lord forever. Do we believe that stuff? Do we believe that those books from Hebrews to Jude are actually tribulation books and we can't claim them to ourselves? Do we believe that all those things are false gospel? Okay, so if we believe that, our fear today is people that don't. Because we know where it's headed. We know the terror of the Lord. We know the terror of the Lord. Well, we don't have to experience it. We do not have to experience it. They do. What do we fear? Loss of rewards at the judgment seat. That's what we're supposed to fear. We're supposed to fear presenting somebody a false testimony. See what you do, and they do it, and it keeps them from getting the truth, or just messes up their testimony in their life. Then yeah, we've done a bad thing. When somebody sees you dressing like this, or behaving like this, and acting like this, or watching, or talking, or all that kind of stuff, you certainly, parents, can't get mad at your kids if they do what you're doing. I wish I could give an illustration I heard about how a mother is demanding something out of her child and fighting her husband over it, and yet she does it herself. It's just stupid. That's right. It's the way he says, old foolish people standing. Hey, but you can't see anything. You got the ear. You're not hearing me. How about this morning? Are you listening? Don't listen to me. Listen to these scriptures. And we're just kind of looking at Jeremiah, what he said to those people. We fear others not hearing the truth. He says in Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. In other words, listen to what Paul preaches. Continue what I'm preaching. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Our walk will affect somebody else's salvation. Who? As far as I'm going to say it here, as far as I can see it, little kids, they're not hearing any truth at all. For one thing, they can't even understand it when they do. So they just need to go by what they see. Kids are going to see what they're seeing. Scary, isn't it? We know that there's no chastisement, there's no spanking. We don't need to fear that. Although everybody says we should. No, don't have to. We don't have to. That's Hebrews. The only place you can find a chastisement is in Hebrews. That's the tribulational book. We are blessed with spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Ephesians chapter 1. Wisdom we have is not just given to us out of the blue. We've got to read our Bible to get some wisdom. How do we deal with the situation? Wisdom is in the risen Savior. Colossians 2:3, Colossians 1:28. We have the mind of Christ. So we think that we think like Jesus. Now, not if you don't read that Bible, you don't. Anything going on out there? Okay, I hope it's better. That which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. All that stuff is put away, is done away with. It's gone. We got to get our wisdom. We got to get our salvation. We got to get our direction, our call, everything from this King James Bible. And we're going back and looking at Jeremiah. He says it so well. Right here, listen to this, verse 23. But this people have a revolt. These people that are bragging about these and about bragging about things they do and the clothes they buy and the money they waste and all this kind of stuff, they are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in this service, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things. See, so we got people that talk like Jeremiah. Listen, the reason your farm is not doing well is because of da-da-da-da in your life. Because you're not doing school in your family is because of da-da-da-da. No. God is not spanking. God is not chastising. That's not what it is at all. It's not our iniquities have turned God away. He's long-suffering and his patience. His goodness. Our blessings are spiritual blessings. Can you name me five? There's a bunch of them Paul talks about. Verse 26, now we're basically just looking at tribulational application verses here. Look at this. For among my people are found wicked men. Okay, let's look at this from our standpoint, among our Christians. Paul following Christians, if there are so many. Wicked men, they lay wait. He that set up, they set a trap, they catch men. I'll tell you right now, I know a name of a man that right now fits this thing. So there's more. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. That's preachers too. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. Isn't that amazing? They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fathers, yet they prosper. They're trying to get the approval of the people to come to their church. They're going to overpass the deeds. They're not going to talk about what Paul says. They're not going to take people to Timothy and Titus. When's the last time your pastor preached about Timothy and Titus? When's the last time your pastor said about women working? When's the last time your pastor said about modesty and clothes? When's the last time your pastor preached about movies and the time they waste? Redeem the time. All these things. But they prosper. Because, see, if you preach that stuff, you're not going to prosper. I know about that one.
verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Can you imagine how much grief the grieving that God does to the Gentiles now? I mean, he's done with his people for now, and those are his people. Romans 11 tells us not to mess with them. And boy, is America looking for trouble again? Well, is God going to judge America because we're going against Israel? You watch. There's going to be a flood or a famine or a tornado or something like that. And somebody's going to say, well, it's because Obama is so against Israel right now. No, we're living in a time where the Gentile nation is blessed. Yes, we will pay for that. But God isn't going to harm us for that stuff. He's going to let us. This has to be. This is part of the falling away. We've got to trash on Israel like everybody else. And we are doing that right now. From what I've read, we've never trashed Israel as much as we're doing right now. So yet these people that preach this stuff, they're prospering. Their books are selling. Their people are sending them money. Which, by the way, I appreciate those of you that support the website. You have been doing great with that. Thank you very much. It's for that cause. So the Lord wants to visit for these things. Don't you think God wants to take care of the Gentiles? I mean, what have we rejected? Jews rejected his son, his only begotten son. What are we rejecting? His risen son. We're rejecting all that he's given us. Well, he's given it to us anyway. But we're very unthankful. We don't respond back. Where's our fight? Where's being a soldier at here? And then here we'll finish up. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Yes, it is. Wonderful not meaning great and beautifully wonderful. It means it's a wonder. It's so bad, it's a wonder. It's just like the word, of things that were terrible that's used in the, what word is it? Wonderful? Whatever. Awful, there's one. Full of awe. We don't know how to use these words. Wonderful means it inspires wonder. It's so horrible what's going on today. If you went out there and said, boy, isn't America just a wonderful country? What do you mean? Well, it's so wicked, I can't imagine. It's a wonder we're not being struck down by God. You've heard people say, if God doesn't strike down America because of homosexuality, then God owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology? What a stupid thing to say. His wrath is coming. Right now, he's offering us his goodness to the Gentiles who are not even a people to him, but to dogs. And what are we doing? We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't even fight for it, stick up for it anymore. How far have you gone backwards? How far have any of us gone backwards? We're in the dispensation of grace. Got a bunch of verses there for you. About the long-suffering of God. Let's finish up here. Verse 30, I think it is. The prophets prophesy falsely. Priests bear rule by their means, doing it their way. This is one that people love to have with so what's that? Preachers that are lying. Preachers that are teaching the wrong thing. And you love to have it that way. Or you'd quit that church. I know some of you out there that listen to this, you still just can't get out of that church. I'm not against local church. I'd love to have a church follow. I'd love to have a group of people that we get together and preach live to. I just know that it would probably kill them. I'm surprised you guys are still with us. The rumors that got started from Ohio, the hatred that came out of Tushy, the failures that came out of all that stuff, and you're still there. You still love the risen Savior. You still want it in your life. And you're helping support this ministry. We're not going to have the local church preach this stuff anywhere anymore. And the one that was a fake. Because now they're not looking to it at all. Yeah. So you folks are strong. And he finishes up here. Again, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. Do it their way. And then he hits us so hard that my people love that. God says, this is the way Gentiles want it. This is the way you Christians want it. This is the way you ladies want it, or you'd change. You'd become that woman again. And you fight for it. The world's trying to get your clothes off. Remember I said that the fashions are going down? Fight that thing. Find something. Make something. Put something else on top of something else. Men, they're feminizing us. They're demasculating men. They're just, we can't be the men we're supposed to be in their own homes. And the men I see trying to be men are just being kings and dictators, and they're doing it so wrong. Pride. Us men got pride. So do you, ladies. You want to be in the house better than your husband. Who wants to wear a dress anyway? Who wants to be covered? I don't understand why. I don't understand that. Shame face it. Where's that at in today's Christianity? I know if they're shame face it in their mouth. And I'm bothered because the summer's coming up, and I know it's all going to go down the tubes. In the name of hot swimming or whatever, river walking, I don't know. Just like Paul, just like Jeremiah says, this is the way we want it. We're happy with it. Let's not be happy with it. Do something about it. We'll do Jeremiah chapter 6 tonight, probably. Now, chapter 5 has all sorts of stuff about the tribulation. I'll try to get away from that. That point's been made. I don't want this to be a deep study of Jeremiah. I just go through here and find verses that tell people the way it is today. And unfortunately, the way it is today, it's the way we want it. So anyway, where you're at is probably the way you want it to be. Where we are at is the way we want it to be. Maybe we ought to change that a little bit. There we go. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. That's where you're at. 12 o'clock. We'll see you tonight.